Hello and welcome to episode number 116 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm glad you're here today. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. Today we'll read Numbers 28, Luke 23, and Psalm 38 from the God's Word Translation. Numbers chapter 28. The Lord said to Moses, "Give this command to the Israelites. Be sure to bring me my offerings at the right times. They are my food. They are offerings by fire, a soothing aroma. These are the offerings by fire that you must bring to the Lord. Every day you must bring as a daily burnt offering 2 1-year-old lambs that have no defects. Offer one in the morning and the other at dusk. With each of them, also bring a grain offering of 8 cups of flour mixed with 1 quart of virgin olive oil. This is the daily burnt offering which was established on Mount Sinai. This offering is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Also, bring a wine offering of 1 quart of wine for each lamb. Pour it out to the Lord in a holy place. Offer the other lamb at dusk along with the same grain offering and wine offering as you brought in the morning. This is an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. On the day of worship, offer 2 1-year-old lambs that have no defects, a grain offering of 16 cups of flour mixed with olive oil, and the wine offering that goes with it. This burnt offering is for every day of worship, in addition to the daily burnt offerings and the wine offerings that go with them. On the first day of every month, bring the Lord a burnt offering of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old lambs that have no defects. With each bull, there will be a grain offering of 24 cups of flour mixed with olive oil. With each ram, a grain offering of 16 cups of flour mixed with olive oil. And with each 1-year-old lamb, a grain offering of 8 cups of flour mixed with olive oil. This is a burnt offering, a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. The wine offering that goes with each bull will be 2 quarts of wine, with each ram 1.5 quarts of wine, and with each lamb 1 quart of wine. This will be the monthly burnt offering for every month of the year. In addition to the daily burnt offering with its wine offering, 1 male goat must be offered to the Lord as an offering for sin. The 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover. The 15th of this same month is a pilgrimage festival. For 7 days you must eat only unleavened bread. On the first day there will be a holy assembly. Don't do any regular work. Instead, bring the Lord an offering by fire, a burnt offering of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old lambs, all of them without defects. Along with them, bring grain offerings of flour mixed with olive oil. Bring 24 cups for each bull, 16 cups for each ram, and 8 cups for each of the 7 lambs. Also bring 1 male goat as an offering for sin to make peace with the Lord. Offer these in addition to the morning burnt offering. Bring all these offerings on each of the 7 days. They are food. They are offerings by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. They will be offered in addition to the daily burnt offering and the wine offering that goes with it. On the 7th day, you must have a holy assembly. You must not do any regular work. During the Festival of Weeks, you must have a holy assembly. On that day, you must not do any regular work. Bring the Lord your new grain offering, the first produce harvested from your fields. Bring a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old lambs. Along with them, bring grain offerings of flour mixed with olive oil. Bring 24 cups for each bull, 16 cups for each ram, and 8 cups for each of the 7 lambs. Also bring 1 male goat to make peace with the Lord. Offer these animals that have no defects along with their wine offerings in addition to the daily burnt offerings and their grain offerings. Luke chapter 23. Then the entire assembly stood up and took him to Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus by saying, "We found that he stirs up trouble among our people. He keeps them from paying taxes to the emperor. And he says that he is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, I am," Jesus answered. Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I can't find this man guilty of any crime." The priests and the crowd became more forceful. They said, "He stirs up the people throughout Judea with his teachings. He started in Galilee and has come here." When Pilate heard that, he asked if the man was from Galilee. When Pilate found out that he was, he sent Jesus to Herod. Herod ruled Galilee and was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very pleased to see Jesus. For a long time he had wanted to see him. He had heard about Jesus and hoped to see him perform some kind of miracle. Herod asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus wouldn't answer him. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the experts in Moses' teachings stood there and shouted their accusations against Jesus. Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and made fun of him. They put a colorful robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. So Herod and Pilate became friends that day. They had been enemies before this. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. He told them, "You brought me this man as someone who turns the people against the government. I've questioned him in front of you and haven't found this man guilty of the crimes of which you accuse him. Neither could Herod, so he sent this man back to us. This man hasn't done anything to deserve the death penalty, so I'm going to have him whipped and set free." The whole crowd then shouted, "Take him away! Free Barabbas for us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for his involvement in a riot that had taken place in the city and for murder. But because Pilate wanted to free Jesus, he spoke to the people again. They began yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time Pilate spoke to them. He asked, "Why? What has he done wrong? I haven't found this man deserving of the death penalty, so I'm going to have him whipped and set free." But the crowd pressured Pilate. They shouted that Jesus had to be crucified, and they finally won. Pilate decided to give in to their demand. He freed Barabbas, who had been put in prison for rioting and murdering, because that's what they wanted. But he let them do what they wanted to Jesus. As the soldiers led Jesus away, they grabbed a man named Simon, who was from the city of Cyrene. Simon was coming into Jerusalem. They laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd followed Jesus. The women in the crowd cried and sang funeral songs for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "You women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Rather, cry for yourselves and your children. The time is coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the women who couldn't get pregnant, who couldn't give birth, and who couldn't nurse a child.' Then people will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' If people do this to a green tree, what will happen to a dry one?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him. The criminals were also crucified, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Meanwhile, the soldiers divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching. But the rulers were making sarcastic remarks. They said, "He saved others. If he's the Messiah that God has chosen, let him save himself." The soldiers also made fun of him. They would go up to him, offer him some vinegar, and say, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." A written notice was placed above him. It said, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus by saying, "So you're really the Messiah, are you? Well, save yourself and us." But the other criminal scolded him, "Don't you fear God at all? Can't you see that you're condemned in the same way that he is? Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserve, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "I can guarantee this truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Around noon, darkness came over the entire land and lasted until 3 p.m. The sun had stopped shining. The curtain in the temple was split in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." After he said this, he died. When an army officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." Crowds had gathered to see the sight. But when all of them saw what had happened, they cried and returned to the city. All his friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched everything. There was a good man who had God's approval. His name was Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish council, but he had not agreed with what they had done. He was from the Jewish city of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he took it down from the cross, he wrapped it in linen. Then he laid the body in a tomb cut in rock, a tomb in which no one had ever been buried. It was Friday, and the day of worship was just beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed closely behind Joseph. They observed the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went back to the city and prepared spices and perfumes. But on the day of worship, they rested according to the commandment. Psalms chapter 38. O Lord, do not angrily punish me or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have struck me. Your hand has struck me hard. No healthy spot is left on my body because of your rage. There is no peace in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me. Like a heavy load, it is more than I can bear. My wounds smell rotten. They fester because of my stupidity. I am bent over and bowed down very low. All day I walk around in mourning. My insides are filled with burning pain, and no healthy spot is left on my body. I am numb and completely devastated. I roar because my heart's in turmoil. You know all my desires, O Lord, and my groaning has not been hidden from you. My heart is pounding. I have lost my strength. Even the light of my eyes has left me. My loved ones and my friends keep their distance, and my relatives stand far away because of my sickness. Those who seek my life lay traps for me. Those who are out to harm me talk about ruining me. All day long they think of ways to deceive me. But I am like a person who cannot hear, and like a person who cannot speak. I am like one who cannot hear, and who can offer no arguments. But I wait with hope for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. I said, "Do not let them gloat over me. When my foot slips, do not let them promote themselves at my expense. I am ready to fall. I am continually aware of my pain. I confess my guilt. My sin troubles me. My mortal enemies are growing stronger. Many hate me for no reason. They pay me back with evil instead of good, and they accuse me because I try to do what is good. Do not abandon me, O Lord. O my God, do not be so distant from me. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior." May God bless the reading of His Word. In today's reading of Psalm 38, we see a distraught David. Most of the Psalms we've read thus far have shown him either praising God, or when he is in distress, he more than balances it out with affirmations that God will deliver him. Here in Psalm 38, we see a man that appears to be desperately crying out to God, and he seems to be at the end of his rope. He still has faith, but he says to God, "Do not be so distant from me." I don't know about you, but I've been there. I know how David feels. I know what it is to wonder when God would step in and bring relief. I knew he would, but like David, I cried out, "Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior." My friend, take note. There are those whose message is, God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be rich. God wants you healthy. God wants you happy. God wants you to be at the top of the mountain. If you're struggling, it's because you don't have enough faith. When you hear that message, run as fast as you can in the other direction. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation." Listen. You can be exactly where you're supposed to be. Your faith can be strong, and still, difficulties will come your way. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen, and they don't just happen to bad people. As a matter of fact, sometimes it seems as if the bad people get all the breaks, right? Don't despair. God sees you in your heartbreak. God knows that you're down to your last nickel and that bills are due. He knows you're out of a job. He knows you have cancer. He knows your wife or your husband has been unfaithful. He knows that it's a struggle to get up in the morning because you laid awake all night crying out to Him for help. If that's you, let me encourage you to hold on. If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." My friend, the reason we suffer is because all of creation is groaning because of the effects of sin. The world is broken, but Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Now, when I say that the world is groaning because of the effects of sin, I'm not saying that it's necessarily because of sin in your own life that you're in the position you are. We all sin, yes. But what you're going through is not necessarily because of an unconfessed sin in your life. Sometimes the world just stinks and we're in it, so it happens to us. But remember, our time here is short. We're only here for an instant of time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I cannot promise that all of your problems will be solved here on this earth, but I do know that you can have peace and you can have joy in the midst of the problems. Philippians 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace which transcends all understanding. That means, despite your circumstances, you can have peace in your heart and in your mind because of Jesus. Knowing and believing and resting in what He did for you brings peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Believe me, I've been there. And as a matter of fact, I'm there now. And I know that He's there with me and for me. I don't have the answers to the problems before me, but I do know that He will help me through somehow. And that is enough for me. If you're struggling, take my hand. We'll walk together as our Savior guides us through. Have a good Thursday. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.